Fresh FM, the rhythm of young hearts on 102.9.
The music that they play just gets me in the mood.
It's 7:52 right now, Namibia's Heart and Soul. We're talking about the cost of living. What grocery item that you so love, you love it, your household loves it, you grew up with it, you want to continue with that tradition, but you are simply unable to afford it at this point because, you know, the rising cost of food and other essential products. Josie gave us an interesting perspective here. Just have a listen.
Good morning, Fresh FM. Honestly, the only thing that I really can afford right now, or I can afford it, but it's just, I look at the price and I'm like, this is not necessary. It's rice. Guys, the price of rice has gone up.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah.
Huh?
You can hear in her voice.
2 kg of rice is now, what, $55, $54?
No, wait, no, guys.
Why?
No, where guys, are you shopping? Where are you shopping? Okay.
2 kg. She's talking about 2 kg. I don't even go to 2 kg.
No, 2 kg is what I buy on a not weekly basis, but it goes for like 2 weeks in my house.
Yeah.
That 2 kg can cost you run about 36 Namibian dollars. Very simple. All you have to do is start supporting Namibian brands, and you will get that. And the rice is just as good.
But isn't it the Namibian brands, listen, we are trying to adjust.
So why are we playing ourselves? If you're going for the fancier brands, unfortunately, those are the prices that you're going to get. You're speaking to someone who's in the shops every week. Then don't complain. Don't complain.
Let's hear Carmen's voice note here.
Good morning, Auntie Shaquan and Ome Dindin. Latiki is the onsa Barase morning so that I don't get in trouble with my favorite Auntie Shaquan. Anyway, so don't laugh, guys, but my favorite household item that sadly I can't afford anymore is Stay Soft, man. Damn. This is expensive, you know? Especially that comfort stuff. Yo. And that comfort smells so good.
It smells so good.
Yo, I remember just putting laundry in it, and then like you don't even have to perfume yourself because Shani's Stay Soft Coop, but of sailors, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is also fine because, you know, our salaries don't improve. We just find ways to adjust our lifestyles to make things work.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, losing out on comfort, this is one of those. And guys, as this birthday, Sophie, it also works, ne?
Okay, maybe not, honey. We are not
anyway,
doing that.
Have Wait, a lovely what? Day. I love you guys so very much.
Love you
and
too, but no.
Like always, man.
All right, honey. We're not putting our
clothes not doing
in vinegar.
That.
No.
You put it in vinegar if it's like white shirts and stuff like that and you want to get them white.
I know about that trick. Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
And also with comfort, pick and pay.
Pick and
refill.
Pay. Oh, the refill one.
The refill ones goes for like 30-something, at most 40 bucks. But yeah.
You see, Malcolm Sylvester Tusev, our resident economist, you see, the people are in trouble. We want to put clothes in vinegar now, bro.
It's corrupt.
It's rough, Buta. Welcome to the show, Malcolm. Thank you so much for taking a minute or two to have a conversation with us and just put a couple of things into perspective for the rest of the country, Boot. Listen. So, another economist, another professional in your field, she's an economic researcher, also Angelique Bock, in a recent interview with a newspaper brand, she tabled an interesting proposition, okay? She proposed that perhaps a reduction in value-added tax could serve as a viable avenue to mitigate the financial strain burdening me, Shaquan, Carmen, and everyone that is now ready to put their clothes in vinegar. Malcolm, make us understand, what does this mean? Reduction in VAT. Like, how will this work?
Reduction in VAT. So VAT is taxation on expenditure. Every time you spend, you are taxed. So currently we are at 15%. So as soon as you buy any product, government gets it. It's a side hustle for government. It's like source of income.
Side hustle, okay.
Source of income. So as soon as government decides to reduce VAT, it means that it will be more cheaper for consumers to buy goods and services. So it's sort of a measure some government hope to take to help with high cost of living and high food stuff. But it's not always advisable. It's not for everyone.
All right. But why do you think that the government hasn't implemented this already, though? I understand that, yes, it might be a side hustle or whatever it is. But, man, times are so tough. And I think also with one of our listeners, what she said, that our salaries are not increasing. Mm-hmm. It's like literally the same and everything else around us seems to be increasing. So why do you think the government isn't implementing this just to make things a little bit easier on us?
Yeah, but just as you highlighted that your salaries are not increasing, nor are they highly or they don't fastly decrease. So one thing about government is VAT is their source of income, and once they reduce the VAT, it means they will be losing out on revenue. So, you know, government is more complex, it has more responsibilities, it has to cater for the least. So that VAT is source of income to finance such activities. So basically, if government has to reduce VAT, it means it must also work on its expenditure and reduce its expenditure. So we are causing a problem. And mind you, as we have high government debt, how are we going to give our obligations if we are losing out on revenue? So you are trying to solve a problem in the short run, but then you are creating another problem.
Yeah,
you are cutting off revenue for government. So it's more complex. What I can perhaps say is maybe we can work on other alternative ways that can help us reduce.
That's what I wanted to ask as well, you know, because we were having a conversation with one of our listeners who's actually saying that rice, for example, right? That a 2 kg is now around about 50 something Namibian dollars, right? And then I just told her, like, you know what, it depends. If you're brand shopping, that's like the issue, right? So what would you say to us right now, Malcolm? Please advise us, because you must know these things better than us, right? As a belief, though, how can we just reduce the headaches that we go through and that anxiety that we have when we walk into supermarkets?
I think we are in the same boat, by the way, but this is above all of us. So this should be more from government to ensure, you see, we can, as soon as we increase competition, or as soon as we try to seek for alternative countries where we can source from. As you know, we source a lot from South Africa, and South Africa is highly influenced by global markets. So we can seek other markets. So that can help us. And one other thing is transport costs. If maybe firms, let's say, Shoprite Checkers come together with the same transport, it will be more cheaper. If transport fee is cheaper, then food prices can be cheaper. Or we can even think of reforming our own agriculture sector.
Okay. So here's the thing, right? Here's the reality. Maybe let me just paint the overall picture here. According to the Namibia Statistics Agency, right?
Yes.
Bread and cereals has escalated by 13.3%.
Yes.
Fruit prices have surged to 13.2%. The cost of fish, my goodness, is standing at 12.6%. White sugar and meat prices climbed by 10.5% and 9.2% respectively. So everything literally is over 10% here in terms of the increase.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who do we speak to say, we are ready to submit a proposal to the powers that be.
Think about
to say, kick, man, we have a suggestion here, man. Who do we speak to, Malcolm? What are the official powers, the structures that we need to explore here?
Of course, it should be the ones we put in our leadership. So from government perspective, our politicians, we don't have to speak to them. We can actually advise them. We can come with solutions and tell them, guys, what ways can we get to increase competition? You know, we are getting a lot from South Africa. We have agriculture, although we have some drought. But what ways, what measures, what can we learn from other countries to sustain ourselves? Mm. In fact, you know, prior to independence, agriculture sector was good, or it was one of the dominant sectors. What happened? Where did we go wrong? Mm. Let's stop blaming the drought, and let's really be honest and see where we can improve on ourselves. But I think from my layman's point of view is, we can seek, if we cannot do it, let's rather seek some countries that are not highly influenced, like South Africa.
Yeah.
If things are wrong there, or if South Africa is rude to the states, we can seal it. Why not Zimbabwe? why can't we get some from Zimbabwe also? I'm just using a practical example. We can really try to access different markets.
All right. Now, Malcolm, Tsusev, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you. We're just frustrated. Don't mind us. And we appreciate your expertise, Puta. We will bring you back on the show for a different conversation, because cost of living does not stop today. It'll continue.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, sure, Puta.
All right.
Thank you so much for
being
here.
Thanks. This is a song for December. Whenever, wherever.